Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter number one this morning. Ephesians chapter number one, and I didn't know they were singing that song. I feel like it's a pretty good place to start the preaching. Thank God for everything He forgot. And if God held you accountable for your life and your sin, and He will, if you are apart from Christ or outside of Christ, you've never been born again, if God holds you accountable for all of that, you're in dangerous ground, you're in trouble this morning. But if you're in Christ, if you're in Christ, when He sees me, He sees the blood. When He sees me, He sees me clean and holy. And He's forgotten all my iniquity, all my transgressions, past, present, and future. And what a blessing that is this morning. I bless the Lord for it. Ephesians chapter number one. Let's stand a moment and go to verse number three. We'll read down to verse number 12 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I want you to notice this, and if you mark notes or if you underline your Bible, I want you to underline this: in Christ. According as He hath chosen us, and here it is again, in Him. You want to underline that or mark that, make note of that, in Him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of, and here it is again, His will. You notice all of these, Christ involved in all of this work. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom, you could underline that or circle that, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purchased in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things, and here it is again, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's all we'll read this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your help, and we thank You, God, for Your goodness to us. And Lord, we ask You this morning that You'd touch the preaching of Your word. God, make it what it needs to be. Make it what You've ordained it to be. Make it what, Lord, what we need this morning. God, honor the preaching, help the preaching, and Lord, use it for Your glory. If there's one lost, I pray You'd save them this morning. And we'll thank You, Lord, in Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. I want to, by way of introduction this morning, tell you a story. I don't know if this is true. I assume that there's some truth to it. Maybe it's a made-up story, but years ago, I heard the story of an old man. He was a wealthy old man. He had had a son. His son had died, and he had had a painter come in and paint a portrait of his son before the son passed or before he died, and they placed that portrait on the old man's house. And there it sat for many years, and every time the old man would walk into the room, he'd see that portrait that was painted of his son hanging there on the fireplace above the mantel. And well, time went on, and this old man was a collector of fine art. He had Picassos and Michelangelos and Rembrandts and all of the fine art that that people want to acquire. He had all of that in his possession. His prized art, though, was that portrait from an unknown painter of his son hanging above the mantle on the fireplace. And years went by, and this old man finally went to be with the Lord. He died and left this earth. And in his will was that all of his paintings were to be auctioned off. And so they sent out letters, they sent out notice across the world that this man had Rembrandts and Picassos and Michelangelos and all that artists and people who love art want to get a hold of. And they came from all over the world to come to this man's home and just have a chance to purchase some of this artwork that he had acquired over these years. And some not even having the money to buy it, they just wanted to see it. It was that big of a deal. So here they came, and the auctioneer stood and said, "It's time for the auction to begin. We're going to get started, and the first piece of art that we're going to sell this morning is this painting from an unknown artist of the gentleman's son." And they held up that painting and said, this is the first thing on the auction block today." These wealthy men and women, they all kind of looked around and said, "Well, we don't want that. We don't know who painted it, and we don't know who it is, and this boy means nothing to us." And so no one made a bid. The auctioneer started at a decent amount, and it kept working its way down. No one was bidding on this painting. And finally, there was a gentleman there. He had been an employee of this old man. He knew the old man, and he had known the son. And he loved the old man, he loved the son, and he said, "Well, if nobody's going to bid on it, I didn't come here thinking that I would get anything, but I've got a little bit of money in my pocket. I'm not wealthy, but I'll make a bid." And he placed his bid, and the auctioneer said, "You know, whatever the amount was, anyone want to outbid that? Anybody want this painting?" And no one bid. It was as quiet as it could be, and no one made a bid. And the auctioneer finally said, "Going once, going twice, sold to the highest bidder." And he slammed the gavel down on the desk and said, "The auction is now over." All of the individuals who came from all over the world to come to this auction, they said, "What do you mean it's all? Oh, it's over?" And the auctioneer said, "Well, it was in the old man's will that he that gets the son gets it all. The man or the woman, whoever it is that purchases the painting of the son, gets everything that this man has." That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter number 1. In him, in Christ, in whom, if you have Christ, you get it all. Aren't you glad this morning to be in him? I did not realize what I got when I got saved, but the longer I live, the more I'm finding out I got more than missing out on hell. I got more than a mansion waiting in heaven, but I have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that little phrase, "in Christ," that is the key. I want to take for a moment this morning, and I want to preach on these blessings in Christ that you have. And I want to say to you this morning that if you've been saved by the grace of God, I want to exhort you today to praise him and to rejoice for all the blessings that you have in him. And if you're lost this morning, I want to exhort you to accept Christ so that you can enter into these blessings that Christ has for us. Let me give you, I'm going to give you three of them. There's a lot of stuff that I will just skip through in this text because I don't want to keep you here all day. But y'all hold on, pay attention, help me out the best you can. I want to give you three blessings that you as a Christian have in Christ this morning. And they're big ones. They are, to me, they are mind-boggling. To me, they are beyond comprehension. I cannot figure out
I know I missed out on hell. I know there's a home waiting for me in heaven. That's big enough. Isn't that wonderful this morning? But that God would do this for me in Christ is beyond my comprehension. Number one, here's what you and I have. The first blessing we have in Christ is, number one, we have His record. We that have been saved, you that have been born again this morning, you have His record. You say, preacher, whose record are you talking about? I'm referring this morning to the record of Christ. You have the record that belongs to Christ. Now, you think this morning somebody would get a little bit excited about that. Maybe I need to explain it a little bit better. We have His record. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, watch this, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, people get mixed up on this verse. And there is a doctrine that's being taught all across this country now. It's becoming more and more popular. And it is a heresy as far as I'm concerned this morning. And I believe as far as the Scripture teaches this morning. And it is this, that God chose me and He didn't choose you. Or God chose you and He didn't choose me. Or God chose us and He did not choose them. And whoever them might be, the problem with that is my gospel this morning that the Bible teaches is a whosoever will gospel. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God is not willing that any should perish. Do you know how dangerous it is this morning to hear that and then to say, well, I want to be saved, but I don't know if God chose to save me. I want to be His, but I don't know if He would have me. I want you to look at me this morning, and I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. If you don't hear anything else that I say, I want you to hear this. God wants you. God chose to save you. God will save you. If you'll call upon His name, He will save you. So what's He talking about when He says He hath chosen us in Him? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Here it's very simple this morning. The key is in Him. The key to all of Ephesians is in Him or in Christ. Here's what God chose. God chose that whoever is in Him would be clean, holy, pure, saved, justified, washed. The difference is are you in Him or are you not? If you are in Him, here's what you find out. God chose when I got in Him to make me like Him. That's what He chose. He chose to give us His record. That's a big deal this morning because my record was spotted. My record was unclean. My record was sinful. And the best that I could do, and the hardest I could try, my record was still unworthy. If you were to stand before God this morning in yourself, and you were to say, God, look what all I've done. I've been a good man. I've been a good woman. I do good things. I love my family. I go to church. I give and I try to be good to my neighbor. What you are saying is all that is in me. But the problem is this morning, and you know it, that in you also is sin. In you also is wrong. In you also is spot and blemish. And in you, you'll never stand in the presence of God. In you, you can never enter into the goodness of God. And so God chose, in order for you to enter into His heaven, into His blessings, to put you in His Son, whom He is well pleased in. That's the whole of salvation. A lot of times church people get a bad rap and they say, all them hypocritical, self-righteous church people. And here's the problem. There are some hypocritical, self-righteous church people. I just don't hang around with that crowd. I just don't spend my time with them because I tell you this morning, I'll be the first to announce I don't deserve the goodness of God. I didn't earn the goodness of God. I shouldn't enjoy the goodness of God. But God put me in His Son, and when He did, He gave me His goodness, and all my righteousness is wrapped up in Him. If I had to work my way in, no way in the world. If I had to earn my way, no way in the world. But here's what God did. He gave me His record. Notice what the Bible said. Chapter 1, verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, here it is, that we should be holy. Did you know this morning that holiness is an attribute of God? Now, let's be honest for a minute this morning. If I am comparing me to you or you to me, there may be some areas I excel. Maybe some areas I fall short. Maybe some areas where you excel. Maybe some areas where you fall short. And I might could get by with saying that in measurement to this individual, I am more holy in this area. And they might be able to get by with saying in measuring themselves against me that they are more holy in this area. But there's not one of us this morning can look at the face of God and measure ourselves against Him and say, I am holy like He is holy. I am pure, I am holy, I am unspotted, I am clean, like He is holy, like He is righteous. None of us in ourselves can do that. On a hill called Calvary, God took my sin, God took my judgment, God took my punishment. He who knew no sin became sin, that I might come to Him, confess my sin, enter into Him by salvation, and attain His record. And when God sees me, He sees me in Christ, and He sees me as holy, even in comparison to His own self. I've got a new nature. Holy. You know the Bible, in Acts, the Bible calls the Holy Child. Over and over again in the New Testament, He's called the Holy Ghost. The Bible describes Christ as the Lamb without spot or blemish. This Bible is the Holy Scriptures. When we meet Moses in Exodus, and God meets with Moses, and He says, Moses, take off thy shoes, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. The Bible calls the temple a holy temple. The Ark of the Covenant was in the holy place. As a matter of fact, it was in the Holy of Holies in the holy place. In Isaiah chapter number 6, the seraphims are worshiping God the Son, and they are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Everything He touches is holy. Everything that represents Him is holy. Everything that He is holy. And God took that holy record and He put it on my record. God took my record to a cross called Calvary, died for it, gave me the record of His Son that is holy. That's why I am rejoicing this morning. Everybody in here has a record book. And in your record book this morning, on the front of the record book, it says the life and times, and you fill in your name. On my record book, it says the life and times of Josh Williams. And boy, there's some good life and times in that record book. There's some things I'm proud of, some things I rejoice as I remember back over. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm not going to let you read my record book because there's some dark days. There's some sinful days. There's some imaginations that cross through my mind that I never want you to know. There's words I've said, deeds that I've done, darkness and sin that overcame me, overwhelmed me, and that I allowed into my life in the life and times of Josh Williams. Here's the problem. God would never allow me to enter into His presence carrying my book, The Life and Times of Josh Williams. No matter how much good is in that book, no matter how much good is in that record, there are still those dark days. And there's many of them. But there's another book. Let me get a song book. There's another book, and that book is the life of Jesus Christ. And in that book, page 1, holy. Page 2, holy. Page 3, holy. Holy, holy. All throughout the book, there's not a spot in that book. There's not a blemish in that book. There's not a flaw in that book. There's not a sin in that book. That's the book I want. But this is the book I came into this world with, and I've been adding to it all my life. 39 years I've been filling up this book. And oh, I want this book. But this ain't my book. This is. I'm unholy. Would you agree with me this morning that apart from Christ, you are anything but holy? Amen. Unholy. But on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, who had this book, holy, took this book that belonged to me. And he didn't just get my book, but he got your book, and 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 all down the line, he got your book. And he got the book of every sinner, the record of every sinner that ever had been, ever would be born. And he took that, and he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the sons of God. He became your record. He took it. And he died for your book. Because your book would never be acceptable.
Right.
Your book would never grant you presence into the goodness of God. Your book would never allow God to look and say, well, I'm going to overlook half of that book.
Right.
He's too holy for that.
Yeah. Amen.
And so what he did is he took your book.
Yes.
And he bore it.
Amen.
And he died.
Amen.
And he took your place. And 33 years ago on a Wednesday night, I bowed my head on a couch at my grandparents' house and I said, God, my book, I don't know that I said it like this, but this is what I was saying. God, my book is disgusting. My book is sinful. My book is wrong. My book is full of sin. And the Lord gave me His book. That's what salvation is. He took my record to the cross. He gave me His record on the other side of the cross. And I've been walking around with 33 years behind me of a new book that says, I am holy in Him. And that's what He chose, to give you His record. And when I stand before God, when I come before God in prayer, and I always want to say stuff like this, Lord, I'm so unworthy, and I have to remember I have been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. You hear people say, if I went to church, the place would burn down. I'm unworthy. Well, that's all of us this morning. But I'll tell you what makes the difference. I have been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. His book became my book, and He took my book and paid my sin debt. He gave me His record. Holy. Without blame is what He says later on in verse 4. Without blame. Now, I'm not going to have time to go into all of this morning, but I just want to rejoice that there is no blame that can be brought up against me. In the courtroom of God's righteousness, here I sit with my own record. I'm in trouble, but I come in here this morning with His record book. And the accuser of the brethren says, now, you know that old Josh Williams, he's a preacher and all. You know that old Josh Williams, he's got a Bible and all. You know that old Josh Williams, he used to know you, but I know, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, I know that he's not all he's cracked up to be.
Oh, I wish I had somebody right there. Well, I guess you were being nice. You didn't want to say that about me. Thank you for not. Amen. But you put yourself in that position this morning.
Amen.
The accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
And the devil said, I saw such and such. And he goes through the time on, what's the day? What's today's date? March the 23rd, 2025, Josh Williams was, and you fill in the blank. And I saw, and the Lord said, well, let me look at his book. Oh, y'all going to have to help me. Let me look at his book.
Yeah, amen.
And the Lord opens the book of the life and times of Josh Williams, and it's a new book,
amen.
And it's an old book. And it said Jesus Christ, and underneath it now it has my name there too. And page one says holy.
Yes, sir.
Well, don't see it on page one. Page two says holy. Page three, holy.
Yes,
and he just keeps going through the book and everywhere, holy, holy. Devil, I don't know what you're talking about, but I've done looked at his book. And there ain't one spot in that book. There ain't a blemish in that book. There's not a bad day in that book. All I see is the holiness of Christ in his book. He gave me his record. And it is holy without blame. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I was in North Carolina this week, and a preacher friend of mine, Brother Randy Barton, his church is Anchor Baptist Church, and they have Anchor Broadcasting, and they have internet radio, and then satellite radio. It goes throughout all North Carolina, and he's a blessing. I want our church to take on that ministry for support. It's such a blessing. They sound out preaching and singing all day long. And Brother Barton just got a clear record. He had prostate cancer and he got a clear record. And then in December it came back. And he's one of those kinds of men. He's a gem. He's as genuine of a man as I've ever met. And I immediately, when I met him over a year ago, fell in love with his character and his conviction and his grace, his heart for God. We were talking and I said, Brother Barton, I'm so sorry to hear about the cancer coming back. And he was talking with me and he said, let me tell you what the Lord did the other day. I said, all right. Hey, me and my wife and my boys have been to his house. He's got a little farm and must be a preacher thing. You got to have a pastime where you can go out and just kick dirt and stuff. And yell at animals. And he's got a little farm. He's got some sheep. He said, we were having Share-a-thon. We were raising money for their radio broadcast every year. They have a 2-week-long Share-a-thon. And he said, I had to be in the office that morning. And he said, I went out to feed the animals. He said, I walked into the barn. And he said, there was, and I don't mean to be vile, but it's just part of nature. He said, there was afterbirth laying in the barn. He said, I knew that one of them sheep had had a baby, but I looked around the barn and I could not find that little baby lamb. He said, and I walked outside and it was wet outside. It had been raining. He said, I sighed and I was listening for it. And he said, I finally heard the bleating of a little lamb. He said, I walked over to the creek edge, and he's got a creek that runs by the edge of his pasture along his driveway. He said, I walked over to the creek and I kept getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And he said, I looked, and he said, down in that creek with a flashlight, and he said, there was that little baby lamb had fallen. He said, I have no idea how it got down there. He said, but it had fallen down there. And he said, I immediately began to cry. He said, because I saw me. Isaiah 6 said, all we like, or Isaiah 53 said, all we like sheep have gone astray.
Amen. Right.
He said, I saw that little lamb laying there. And he said, I picked it up. It was muddy and wet. I held it tight to me to carry it back to the barn. He said, it nuzzled on my neck. And he said, it just had been born within that night. He said, and I carried that wet, muddy, dirty lamb back to the barn. He said, I laid it down next to its mother. He said, and to my surprise, its mother butted it and would have nothing to do with it. He said, I picked it up and laid it down next to the mother again, and the mother would have nothing to do with it. He said, three different times, I picked this little lamb up, laid it next to the mother, forced the mother to come to it, and the mother butted it and knocked it over and would have absolutely nothing to do with it. He said, I realized that this little lamb had, when it had fallen in that mud, it had cattle manure all over it. He said, and so the only thing that came to my mind is this mama lamb smelled the cows, and she was not accepting this lamb. He said, I went, picked up that lamb, took it out, and he said, I took a rag, and the best I could with a rag, I wiped it off. I cleaned it off. I washed it off the best I could. He said, I got everything that I could see off of that little lamb. I carried it back in there. He said, I laid it down by that mama, and that mama knocked it over again. He said, I'd done the best I could to clean that lamb up, and that mama knocked it over, and knocked it over, and knocked it over. He said, and I said, Lord, I can't let this lamb die, and I've got to be somewhere in a little bit, and I don't know what to do. And he said, the verse came to me, the life of the flesh is in the blood. He said, now, I went back over there and I got some of that blood from that birth. And I smeared that blood on that lamb.
Amen.
He said, I did the best I could to cover that little lamb that was so filthy from that ditch and that manure. He said, and I put that blood on that lamb. He said, I carried that lamb back in there to that mama. He said, that mama sniffed it one time, and she nuzzled up next to that lamb.
Amen.
He said, the lamb nuzzled next up to her, and she began to nurse that baby. And he said, that baby's still alive on that farm. He said, I couldn't clean it off. It was filthy, but the blood covered it all. I come to tell you, because of the blood of Jesus, I have a new record that is accepted in the beloved of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question this morning. Ain't that praiseworthy?
Amen. Hallelujah.
That I have his record?
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question this morning. Do you have his record? Do you have his record? Let me give you the second blessing. Not only we have his record, but secondly this morning I want you to notice this. We have his relationship. We have his record and we have his relationship. He chose to give me the record of Christ, and he chose to give me the record of Christ and his Father. The relationship that Christ has to his Father. How many of you believe this morning it's a good relationship?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, God the Father sounded out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He is well pleased in Christ. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. They've got a real good relationship. Now, I want you to read this. I want you to see it this morning. I'm going to read it to you in verse number 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We have his relationship. He said that he predestinated us to the adoption children by Jesus Christ. What that means is God said, I think I'm going to make them mine because of Jesus. And so he adopted you when you came to him. And if you've never came to him this morning, he wants to save you that he might adopt you and make you his son, his daughter, his family in Christ. Now, I appreciate people that are not in my family this morning. I appreciate you. I feel like family with nearly all of you, I guess, and willing to feel like that with all of you. And I appreciate that, but most of you just wouldn't walk up to my house and just walk right in the door, go right in the fridge. And you say, why? Well, I don't feel that comfortable with you. And I appreciate that. Don't you appreciate boundaries?
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you who walks right up in my house without a thought. That boy right there. And that boy right there. And they've never had to knock on the door. They've never asked, can we come in to our house, to our home? You know why? They are sons. And I tell you, I wish they would every now and then, but they don't normally even ask, can we open the fridge? They just open it up and drink all the milk. Like it grows on a tree. And it is to make themselves at home. But they got every right because they're my sons. And here's what he chose. Not to save you and not your neighbor. Not to save your neighbor and not you. Not to save some and not the other. Here's what he chose. Here's what he predestinated before the foundation of the world. Any of them that come to me, I'm going to put them in my family so good they'll be my sons. They'll be my daughters. They'll have access. They'll be accepted. They'll belong to me. I'll belong to them. And just as Jesus has a relationship with the Father, so will all my sons in Christ. That's a good place to be this morning. My boys respect me. They reverence me. But they're not afraid to come before me. And they do it often. And they ask me about big things and they ask me about little things. Because they're my sons. I'm hurrying, but did you know that there's three ways that you can get in a family? Three ways. Number one, you can be born into a family. That's blood, birth, you're born into a family. Well, Jesus wanted me and his family so bad he birthed me. I've experienced a new birth. The blood has been applied. There was a new birth. We sang about it. There's a new name written down in glory. You know how I got there? I got born again. And this morning you could come to an altar and tell Christ that you're a sinner and you want him to save you. And he would birth you into his family.
Amen.
Here's the second way. You can get married into a family. And Jesus, God calls the church the bride of Christ. We're headed to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God wanted you in his family so much that not only did he birth you into his family, but he made you his bride, the church. Here's the other way you can be adopted into a family. In Romans, I think 8 says we've not been given a spirit of fear, again unto bondage, but we've been given the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And God wanted you and his family so much that he was willing to give you the relationship of his own son. John chapter 1 verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I highlighted that as many as received him. He did not say, but as many as he chose, as many as he decided upon, but he said as many has received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Here's the first spiritual blessing this morning. I have his record. Here's the second spiritual blessing. I have his relationship. How God views his son, how the son views God, that's the same relationship I have in Christ. I heard a story. I don't know if it's true. Might not be. Might be. It was a good one, though. A man had a son, and sounds like the first story, don't it? It's a different story. The little boy had an illness, and it was unto death. He was not going to live. This goes way back. I think Great Britain had a queen for many years, but the way this story is told is that it was in the time of the king of Great Britain. This little boy was sick and he was going to die, and some townspeople in the little village outside of the castle there, the royal family, they said, son, we want to help you. We know you're dying. What can we do to help you? And what can we do for you? Do you have a last wish? This is before Make-A-Wish. And The little boy's daddy said, well, I tell you, this little boy loves the royal family. Said, we would love, I know that's what he wants. He would love to meet the royal family, if that would be possible. And the townspeople got together and they raised the money and they purchased the fare to get there. I don't know whether they went by boat or by some form of transportation. They're going to get him there. Lodging, all that was purchased. And they got there to the royal family, to the home of the royal family, and they went and they made it so far and they got to a gate where a guard stood at the gate. They explained their story to the guard and they said, our little boy is sick, we've raised money, we've come to see the royal family before he dies. And the guard says, I'm sorry, but I cannot let you go through. The daddy explained it again, but you don't understand, we're here, we're needy, this boy's dying, we've raised the money, our family's brought all this together and our friends and they've supported this and we've paid this and if you don't let us in, this little boy's going to die without ever having his dream and all of the money that was spent to get us here is going to be in vain and we can't go back home and tell them that we wasted all the money getting there and you wouldn't let us in. And he said, I am terribly sorry, but the answer is no. You cannot come in. The little boy and his family turned around after several attempts to try to get in. And they were walking back down the courtyard, back through the walkway, and the little boy was crying, the daddy was crying, the mama was crying, and the young man walked by, and he said, son, what is wrong? And the little boy began to explain his story. And the young man said, hold on, you come with me. The young man took this little boy by the hand and daddy and mama's walking behind him. He walked up to the guard and the guard tipped his hat, opened the gate. The young man said nothing to the guard. He walked in the gate. He walked through the doors. He walked through another door, walked through another door. And in just a moment, that boy was standing before the king of Great Britain. The father said, sir, I don't know how you made this happen. He said, oh, it was easy. That's my dad. I've got access because he's my father. And I wanted you to come see him. And I want you to know what was on the outside for you. What was not allowed for you. Heaven was barred off. The presence of God was barred off. The peace of God was barred off. The goodness of God was barred off. But Jesus gave you His relationship, and through that you now have access and are accepted in the Beloved. Somebody ought to praise God this morning that I have His relationship. I won't preach this last one, but I'll give it to you. Verse number 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, we have His riches. Verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purchased in Himself. Verse 10. In that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Whatever Christ has, I have in Him. And the Bible tells us in verse 8, He has wisdom. He's given that to us. Verse 9, we have the mystery of His will, and that is more than just you knowing what God wants you to do right now. That is you knowing what God's been doing, and God's been rescuing and redeeming and saving sinners, and He's let you in on that. We have His world in verse 10. That of heaven and that of earth is being gathered together. And we have all of His wealth in verse 7 and verse 11. It belongs to us, the riches of His grace. I am blessed beyond measure this morning because I am in Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have His record? I want you to come to the piano. I want to ask you this morning, do you have His relationship? I want to ask you this morning, do you have His riches? And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about earthly wealth. I'm talking about the riches of His grace and His mercy His peace, His joy, His wisdom, His will. Do you have that? I want you to listen to me. It is no accident that you came here this morning. It is no accident that God put me in this text. None of these things are accidents. What they are is the sovereign hand of God wanting to save you, wanting to work in your life, wanting to do something for you that only God could do. And if you'd recognize this morning your need without Him, if you'd recognize this morning your bankruptcy without Him, and if you'd recognize that there's coming a day you're going to stand before Him and you're going to want to enter into heaven, you're going to want to enter into His heavenly home. And there's going to be one question on the agenda. Let me see your record book. And if your record book is the life and times of you and it's got everything good and bad in your book, God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You're going to say, but God, don't you see all this good in this book? And He's going to say, I do, but there's none good, no, not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is filthy rags, and you have all of this sin in this book. And you're going to say, God, but I did my best, I tried. And He's going to say, but you've got the wrong book. Here's what's going to have to happen. You're going to stand before God when you leave this world. He's going to say, let me see that book. You understand the picture. Let me see that book. Let me see your book. And if it's the book He gave you, God will say, holy, holy, holy. I think we're going to bow before Him in worship on that day. Amen. When He reads our record book. Because we're going to know that that ain't what our record book really looked like.
Yeah, that's right.
That ain't what should have been read, but we got a great transaction at Calvary.
Amen.
And I got a new book.
Yeah.
Holy. 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 I got His book. Do you have His book this morning? Let's stand all over the building. If maybe you want to come praise the Lord, you want to come thank God on these altars this morning, I want to invite you to. Our blessings in Christ, how blessed we are. She's going to sing this morning. You mind the Lord. Help me pray, church.